Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday, and every Tuesday at 1 o'clock, we talk to the head coach at Innsworth High School and ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck, who is on the line with us. Timmy, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Well, I think we're doing better than the Titans right now. I mean, it's has it hit rock bottom, 26-0 to the arch rival Texans, and the quarterback, I think, had his worst game in his four-game career. I mean, things are not good right now.
No, they're really bad. You say rock bottom. It's interesting. I hadn't thought of it as rock bottom, but I can't imagine there being a worse start than the Titans have had. And look, there's already been play caller changes. There's already been, blowouts. So I think that, it can't get much worse than it's been. And that's obviously not a good sign when the whole idea is that you're building towards improving. It just doesn't feel like that's happened.
When I watch Cam Ward in particular, I'm watching as a fan. I don't know near as much as you as a quarterback and a coach. What are you seeing from him? Because I see a guy that's still holding on to the football too long, even though there were only two sacks that showed up on the stat sheet. I still think he's trying a little too hard to make a play that just simply isn't there. I'm seeing some sidearm stuff that I don't really like. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I'd address the sidearm stuff first. I don't love all that stuff. I think there's a time and a place for it. You see the best in the game doing it. But it's how he's played, right? Like, it's not something that's new and out of character. And he's been efficient and accurate changing arm angles at the college level. So I don't think that that's something that I would necessarily be overly concerned with at the moment. Now, I do think what is concerning, and to your point about holding on to the football, it does feel like he is doing – it feels like he thinks and feels like he has to do a lot in order to make plays. And I just think that that's tough sledding, and it's a hard place to live. But I think part of the reason you feel that way is that if guys around you are not creating separation and, you're not able to play on time and in rhythm, and there's not run after the catch, or just there's not even completions of playing on time, as a quarterback, that can feel like you're playing uphill. And with that being the case, I think when you find yourself in that environment, you then start to say, all right, well, like, if I can hold on to the football a little bit longer and know he's not open, but if I escape outside and buy some time, then maybe someone will pop free. It feels like he's playing like that. And that's why you have games where you go 10 of 26, is because it's hard to do that. So I don't think he's getting a lot of help. And I think there's probably enough reason to believe he's maybe even making it worse by trying to create on his own.
So let me ask you this. Do you think, and, we've talked about the play calling change, and, Bo Hardigree tried to call a couple of trick plays that didn't work. So whenever that happens, you think he's an idiot. And when it does work, mm-hmm. you think they're a genius. Cam has shown he has the ability to use his legs. Do you think yep. maybe more designed runs, quarterback runs, could help some of these
yeah.
things?
Yeah. I don't think he's a designed runner. I really don't. Look, I was even a little bit surprised in how much the Giants ran Jackson Dart, because he really was not a runner in college. Now, I think Jackson Dart is probably a better designed runner than Cam Ward is. But I think if you watch the Giants and what they were doing with him, I think you're on a mission to get your quarterback hurt. Like, you just are. I mean, you just look at it. There's a 3rd-and-2 run the Giants called with him, where you're basically putting him in the hole with an inside backer. Same thing down in the red zone, kind of inside the 5-yard line as a design runner. And so people can, get all excited about, Jackson Dart's rushing touchdown, where it was basically an RPO. It was stick to his left, and then it was basically quarterback lead draw, and he comes through, clean and untouched, and that's great. But, the benefit of that without what I think is the problem of basically running gap scheme or power schemes with your quarterback, you're just going to get him hurt you know, by doing that. So look, I think the better thing would be change the launch point as you kind of struggle a little bit with pass protection. Moving him is fine, you know, but I think, you know, this idea that of having, like, you know, really trying to run him to supplement your run game, I don't believe that that's the right path to go down.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Tim, when a quarterback knows when he drops back, he's going to be under heavy pressure, how does that affect you even before you take the snap? Because I think Cam Ward knows when he drops back, Tim, and that there's going to be two or three guys waiting on him in the back and in the pocket.
Here's the thing. I think if you know that guys are going to win, you like pressure. You would invite pressure. Because if guys win on the outside, then you basically have reduced it to throwing one-on-one routes. And so it's kind of great. But what's not great is when people are bringing pressure, and you, to your point of, look, you know that you're going to get hit, and you know that it's not going to be a clean pocket, but you're not sure and you don't have confidence in guys winning and making the play for you. And so you feel like, all right, well, maybe I've got to hold on to the football a little bit longer to see, you know, the angle he sets, or to see if he does get any separation, or, you know, the timing of it all. That's an awful feeling. That's an awful feeling because you just, you know, I think a lot of times people see pressure and they're like, this is perfect because, like, you just made it easy for me because now I know where I'm going with the football and I know my guy's going to win. Well, when they don't, then it's awful. So I think that is the world that Cam is living in right now.
We talked last week about up-tempo, go, 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 go. I called a game last weekend at Kennesaw State at MTSU. Kennesaw State ran plays, Tim, with only 3 to 4 seconds off the play clock. They were going that fast, and it confused everyone. Are the Titans capable of running an up-tempo offense? Because I don't think they are.
I think you could be capable of doing it. The problem is because the offense has struggled so much, you would be destroying your defense in terms of, you know, going so fast. And so, you know, if you have these super quick three and outs, you know, now your defense, which, you know, has been, I mean, okay, I guess at best, like now it puts them in a tough spot. So do I think they could? Yeah, I think they could because they have a quarterback that would know how to operate super fast. He's done that before. I just don't know that that's necessarily, you know, for your team, you know, what ends up being best. I think more than anything, Joe, is I think they need to define completions. Like you can't – it's very hard to win a pro football game when you have 10 completions. Like I talked to a lot of college coaches that felt like, look, if we feel like we can – if we complete 22 passes in this football game – like we like our chances of us moving the ball, having time of possession, doing those types of things. When you complete 10 passes in a pro football game, I think it's impossible because it's going to be hard to run the ball because they're not fearing you throwing the football. And I'm not saying they've got to be down the field. I'm just saying you need to complete more passes so that the team is defending 53 and a third and they're defending things other than you just running the football on them. And right now the Titans just aren't completing enough passes.
Well, what you just talked about led to the greatest fight between coaches on the sidelines in NFL history when Gil Bride and Buddy Ryan got into a fight because that was what you're talking about. They were going three and out, and Buddy Ryan says, you got to give my defense a chance to rest, and that's how the fight happened. So I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, and I think, like, look, you know, Stroud had 22 completions in the game. You know, like I do think that there's an element of, like, that's not always it. But when you have a struggling offense and you're trying to figure out, like, okay, what do we need to do in order to play better? I think you need to find completions. Like, and to me, it doesn't matter if you're throwing a little stick route to somebody. Like, you need, I mean, look at what the Dolphins have done in the past. Like, I mean, the Dolphins, you know, have found ways to find completions. I think it's just, generally speaking, you know, help their team. So to me, it's not the tempo. I think pro defenses handle tempo extremely well. You do see teams, you know, when they get to third downs, not huddle and go fast to try to get a more simplified third down defensive call from the defense, which does work oftentimes. But yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, the area where I would focus more so than, you know, trying to get into to going super fast.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us, ESPN NFL analyst. We've talked about that. Are they nearing the point where they should start fielding phone calls to trade guys? Jeffrey Simmons obviously would be at the top of the list of getting whatever they could for him because he's been their best player. There's really no arguing that this year. Do you think they're nearing that point, or is that something that, you know, maybe they should avoid and use some of those guys as building blocks for the future?
No, I think you're nearing that point. You have a rookie quarterback. And so, you know, I think doing what you can to essentially, you know, bolster, you know, the arsenal to be better in years to come. Look, you're 0-4 in one of the, I mean, arguably one of the weakest divisions in football. And so, look, you know, you hate to say it because you're like, hey, like, are we really punting on the season? But, like, yeah, some of these teams that have had injuries and, you know, need players, like, this would be an example. Like, and I'm not saying, like, Calvin Ridley ends up being, like, a candidate for this. But if you're the Giants and you're Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, for that matter, like, and you – keeping your job is important, and you know, you maybe have a chance and you just lost Malik Nabers. Like, are you in the receiver market? Like, you very well may be in the receiver market. In the long-term future for the Titans, is Calvin Ridley really in the plan to be one of Cam Ward's most desirable guys? Probably not, you know, and I do. So, yeah, I think there are going to be teams. Look at what's happened to the Chargers. The Chargers think they have a really good team. They've already lost their starting left tackle. Their replacement left tackle is going to be out for an extended period of time. Khalil Mack's out. Like there are teams that are going to be looking for guys that think they're contenders. And so, yeah, I think starting the conversation now, well ahead of the trade deadline, is a good idea for the Titans.
We'll have more with Tim Hasselbeck coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe on 102.5 The Game. Continuing our conversation with ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck and, of course, the head coach of the Innsworth Tigers. We were just talking about, you know, teams in the receiver market. Tyreek Hill blows out his knee, multiple ligaments, including the ACL, according to Adam Schefter. So he's going to be out. The Dolphins actually looked decent last night, or was it that the Jets look really bad, or maybe a combination of the two? What do you think of the Dolphins moving forward, and could they be in the receiver market?
Yeah, I think they could. There was talk about Tyreek being traded, so obviously, you know, that's off the table now. So I could see them being in that market. I think it's a devastating blow for them. Now, they have other, you know, talented guys, you know, in their offense. I think the way they looked probably had more to do with the opponent than, you know, me thinking that they're a real viable team going forward. And look, you know, the Jets to me, like that's a team that I think has been one of, I think like it's going to be a long year for the Jets just on both sides of the ball in terms of what they've looked like. So, you know, I don't like they're a team in the market for receivers, maybe, but like they could also be in the market, you know, depending on what they see the future for Mike McDaniel being, of a team that is moving some of their own players.
Tim, you just talked about the division, the AFC South, not that strong. We've talked about all the Titans have to do is be better than the other three teams in the division. Let me ask you about Jacksonville. That was a big win versus San Francisco. And Trevor Lawrence, I don't know why everybody is just putting all this hate on him from the last couple of years. I know he's had his problems a little bit, but he's still a pretty good quarterback. What do you think of the Jags now sitting there at 3-1?
I think you make a great point about that being a huge win for them. You know, there was some emotion to it. I think there were some elements of at the very end of that game, you know, when Jacksonville's taking a knee, Fred Warner is kind of trying to jump over the center. He rolls up on the Jaguars' left guard. And so a lot of this interaction with Liam Cohen and Robert Saleh, I think, you know, has been attributed to, you know, the signal stealing stuff. But really, I think there was also elements of, you know, hurting a Jags player, Cohen kind of sticking up for him. I think, you know, you've seen Cohen getting on Trevor Lawrence. I think Cohen is going to coach the quarterback hard. They, I believe, are an improved football team. And I think there's going to be a little bit of grit to them that, that hasn't been there in the past. Now, I think the Colts are a good team as well. I mean, I think that there are two good, maybe not great teams in the AFC South that I think those two teams end up fighting it out. I think at the end of the, you know, at the end of the season, you know, we're going to look at some meaningful games being played in the division, you know, because of, you know, how the season's going for both of those teams, which, look, is they've probably, you know, overperformed expectations. And then I think when you look at teams like Cincinnati and Baltimore, also AFC teams, you know, they've really, you know, underperformed to this point.
Why do we still have receivers dropping the ball a yard out from the end zone? I don't forget the Colts receiver who dropped it on the half yard line. Well, as a head coach, what do you do?
Yeah, A.D. Mitchell, I have no idea why guys still do that. Like, there, you have 10 yards before you go out of the back of the end zone to extend the ball out. That is wild to me. You think of that game. Look, the Colts easily be sitting at 4-0 if that doesn't happen. Like, that's the difference in that football game, which is, I mean, just gut-wrenching, you know, for the other players on the team, the coaching staff for the Colts. So that's one I don't understand. Like, between that and, like, defensive backs celebrating when, like, a wide-open receiver who won just drops the football, like, those two things, you know, like – you know, like seatbelt season, you know, when somebody had 4 yards of separation and just didn't catch the ball, or the quarterback just misses them. Like, those two things, like, I'll never understand. I understand those more than mental reps. Okay. Let's just put it that way.
I'm glad somebody does.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us on the program. Can you, you have a lot of pull. Can you do us a favor and call Roger Goodell and get rid of ties, because ties should not exist in the NFL, especially when you have such a compelling and exciting football game on Sunday night between the Cowboys and the Packers. I hated seeing that thing end when it did. At least give me a 15-minute overtime quarter. I mean, I know there's no perfect solution to it, but man, I hated to see it end in a tie.
Well, since I come on the air after the games, I maybe was one of the few people that was like, fine, just end this thing. I don't feel like coming on the air at 3 a.m. But here's what I would say. Look, you know, they've kind of talked about this stuff as like in the vein of player safety, right? Of,
sure.
of why they've done the overtimes the way they have. At the same time, they're like adding full games. So, you know, you're talking whatever, you know, another 70 snaps, you know, on a guy for a game. So I agree with you. Like, play it like a full quarter so that if teams do, and it's not going to eliminate all the time ties, but like, then at least at that point, there's another possession, especially with the way guys are kicking field goals these days, where, like, you know, 52 yarders seem like, you know, automatics. So yeah, it feels weird to me. The thing that struck me the most though about Sunday night was I thought it was really good quarterback play. It was horrendous defense. But maybe more than anything, for all the, you know, coach complaining and game management that's, you know, obviously gone on here locally and, you know, and probably people have, you know, said some other places, I thought it was almost coaching malpractice what LaFleur did with the Packers. Yeah. There's under 20 seconds left. You're backed up before the half. Like, why are you being so aggressive? Like, that made no sense to me. And I think they maybe only had one timeout, if any. And then the last play of the game before the in overtime, before they kicked the game-tying field goal, like, what are you doing? Like, in an environment where there's coach-to-quarterback communication, like, they should have lost the football game. Like, Matt LaFleur should have lost them the football game. So, yeah, I there were a lot of things about that game that felt terrible. But I think when we look at it at the end of the year, the Packers are going to be thrilled that that was a tie and not a loss.
Is Brian Schottenheimer maybe a little – is he surprising you in a good way? Because he is me.
Here's what I'd say. Like, I didn't think there was going to be much of a difference between he and Mike McCarthy. And I'm not saying – and I don't really think that there has been, right? Like, the Cowboys had a really good offense. Brian Schottenheimer is, you know, really, you know, in many ways just connected with, you know, what they were doing offensively. Like, so, you know, when I look at it, I think the Cowboys are a very similar team. But to think that, like, you know, surprising from the standpoint of, like, I think he's qualified and capable in terms of knowledge and being around teams and influences in his life to be a good head coach. That is not surprising to me, you know, in terms of that. And look, Dak Prescott, you could say right now is playing as well as any quarterback in pro football.
Tim, real quick, what we, you know, we talked about your brother and Walter Jones last week, mm-hmm. about how great he was at Seattle. What would he have done had that been your brother instead of Cam on Sunday when the Texans player takes him down with a legal hit to the head and yeah. nobody comes to his rescue? I mean, nobody comes to help. I'm not one for violence after the play, but yeah. at some point you got to stand up for your teammate.
Yeah, I do think that there's an element. Listen, the fine schedule's brutal these days with, you know, guys getting into stuff. So, like, you know, I don't know that you can sit there and say, hey, listen, man, like, somebody hits our quarterback, you know, let's make sure that you sign yourself up for a $17,000 fine, you know, by protecting him. And it doesn't have to be all five guys, but you would hope, and you see it around the league, right. that there is a pride in terms of how you protect your quarterback, and not just your quarterback, you know, any of your star players, like how you protect them. It goes on in other sports. Clearly goes on in baseball if somebody gets hit. It goes on in hockey. I do think there's an element, kind of an unwritten rule of, if your job is protecting the franchise quarterback and somebody takes a cheap shot on him, that you do what you can to let people know that you're not putting up with it.
He is Tim Hasselbeck. Who do you got this week?
We got Knox Catholic coming in town for homecoming. So we got need a little bit of a bounce back after this last week. So hopefully the boys are ready. Getting that time of year, you know, you got guys banged up, you got injuries, new opportunities. I mean, so like, this is good for me as a coach, get new situations to address with our team and hopefully, you know, see some growth out of the boys.
Are you the only coach in America, high school coach in America, that likes homecoming? My coach hated homecoming. Every head coach I've ever known hates it.
Why did he hate homecoming?
Because it was an extra 15, 20 minutes of not playing and doing all the ceremonial stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, see, we don't – that's a good thing. Right? We don't do all that stuff. We did homecoming. We, you know, the kids will be excited for it. They'll have a dance on Saturday night. But, yeah, we don't prolong the festivities. we get to the game.
Good.
Love it. Love it. Thanks, Tim. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, fellas. See you.
That's ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck and, of course, the head coach of the Innsworth Tigers. We'll react to some of that and much more coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel on 102.5 The Game.